The blood still works. It's the blood of Jesus Christ. It still works. Amen. Genesis chapter 41. Thank you, choir, for singing so melodiously and blessing us in song. Certainly, we ought to be ready for the word of God. Amen. Genesis chapter 41. Beginning with verse 53. And we would end our reading with verse 57. And the 7 years of plenteousness that was in the land of Egypt were ended. And the 7 years of dearth began to come according to Joseph, according as Joseph has said. And the dearth was in all lands, but in all the land of Egypt there was bread. And when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you, do. And the famine was over all the face of the earth. And Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold unto the Egyptians. And the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn, because the famine was so sore in the land. The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers and doers of his holy divine word. Tool of famine. Tool of famine. Say that with me if you will. Tool of famine. We have already discovered that God can employ and use tools that we wouldn't think, don't think he'll use. God has his own way of navigating us to our destiny, to his design place, design position for us. It is through the life of Joseph we see ourselves as dependent on God. Because we are not in charge, as we think. We cannot handle our own lives and circumstances of life. That we have to depend on God to navigate us. Things we deem bad, God has a way of working together for our good. That's why Paul says all things, not just good things, but things we deem as bad. God is the only one I know who can work them together. And both the good and bad comes out for our good. God will bring to pass everything he has promised. God can be trusted simply because God is faithful to his promises. The Bible says, faithful is he that calls you, who also will do it. For the Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promised. God used a famine as a tool to show Joseph that he is truthful and trustworthy. If God did not and does not bring to completion what he said, there would be no need of trusting in God, because God would be a liar. But the Bible says that God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do? Or has he spoken and will he not make it good? God employs his word, so there is no need of entertaining the slightest fear of God's failure. God cannot fail. Help me preach this, if you will. Look at somebody and say, God cannot fail. No, God can't fail. God can't fail. God has brought us too far. He has brought us along the way. And as we look back over the chasm of our years and over the yesterdays and the yesteryears and the yesterdecades of life, we see that God cannot fail. There's no failure in God. I can remember the church of old would say, God is too powerful to fail. He can be trusted. Joseph, in Genesis 41, has made it to a position of power. God's design and supernatural disclosure to Joseph in chapter 37 has come to pass. That Joseph's first dream was that of his brothers bending the knee, bowing to him. But then Joseph had a second dream, and his second dream was of his father, his mother, and his brothers paying homage to him. His brothers, his father, his mother has come into Egypt, and they are at the point, at the place, at the period of bowing and paying homage to Joseph. Notice verses 53 through 57. We see God setting in motion the reality of what he revealed to Joseph in the two dreams. Joseph has observed the butler's and the baker's dream come to pass. Joseph saw the unfolding of Pharaoh's dream. And God used the completion of their dreams to establish within Joseph assurance. It was by way of hearing, interpreting, and seeing the baker's and the butler's and Pharaoh's dream come to pass that Joseph is assured of the faithfulness of God. It is Jim Reeves who wrote it right in the song, "It is no secret what God can do. What he has done for others, he will do the same for you." Is there anybody in here who can be a witness that God is no respecter person? What God has done in the life of others, God will do for you. Listen, don't you get quiet on God, because when you see God active in the life of other people, know that he's in the neighborhood. Joseph saw the dreams of the baker, butler, and Pharaoh come to pass. He saw the dreams come to fruition. Let me pause to say to you, others may have dreamed after you and received the promise of their dreams before you. But that doesn't mean that God has forgotten you. That doesn't mean that your dreams are not coming to fruition. I want to encourage you to hang on to your dreams. Hang Hang on to the visions that God has given you. Hang on to the word that God has given you. Because, listen, God, he's true to his word. And because God has done it for others that have dreamed after you, listen, God is going to bring to pass what he has revealed unto you. Don't you give up on your dreams. Don't you give up on the word of God. Don't you give up on the revelation that has yet to become reality. It's coming. Hang on. See, the first shall be last. And the last shall be first. You all remember the story of the turtle and the rabbit? That the rabbit started out and ran out head out front of the turtle. And the turtle was slow pace. But the hare messed around and went to sleep on the side of the road. And the turtle, because of his slow but persistent pace, crossed the finish line. It's not how fast you start. It's your persistence and consistence in finishing the race. God told you that it's going to come to pass. Trust him to bring it to pass. It is in chapter 41 that Joseph began to understand the will of God for his life. He does not fully understand like he will understand in chapter 50. But he has some understanding of why God has allowed him to undergo hardship. You know, hindsight is 20/20. And when you're going through your troubles, when you're going through your tribulations and trepidations, you don't understand fully. But when you get on the other side and you can take a retrospect and see God, you have understanding of why God didn't let you travel along the easy route. You're looking at other people and it seems like they have it so good, and it seems like they have it better than you, and look like when you look at your own life and take it under examination that you are troubled on every hand. But just give it a little time and let God bring you through some things. And when you look back, you'll see why God allowed you to take the tough road and the rough path, because he was building you up for what he has in store for you. That's why everybody can't handle what you can handle. That's why everybody can't take what you can take. Because you had a harder process. A tougher process. And he was preparing you for something greater. Joseph, when he was lied on, he didn't understand. Why is it Miss Potiphar has lied on me and calls me to serve a prison sentence as an innocent man? He didn't understand why his brothers was jealous of him. Threw him in a pit and sold him into slavery. He didn't understand why he was forgotten by the butler and baker. He had to spend 2 additional years in prison after he interpreted the dreams of the butler and baker. But listen, you may not understand your troubles, but I can guarantee you, you will understand God bringing you out. Your pain will be turned into praise. He's in Egypt. He has interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh has made him second in command. Has given him a ring, and everyone had to bow to him because he made him second in command. He has used discretion and wisdom to gather corn for 7 years. 7 years of plenty. He stored grain in barns because God also revealed unto Pharaoh that 7 years of famine would follow the 7 years of plenty. Listen to me. Here it is. Joseph helps us understand how to approach hard and difficult times, times of famine, times of shortage, times of drought. He helps us in that he reveals to us, number one, to withstand a famine, there has to be prior preparation. Because verse 54 says, and the 7 years of dirt began to come according as Joseph had said, and the dirt was in all land, but, that's a holy but, that's a shout but in the land of Egypt was bread. Glory to God. Brothers and sisters, good times come to an end. The Bible says that good times come to an end. We are forewarned of the ending of good times. Notice, if you will, verse 53 says that the years of plenty came to an end. Not only in this verse, but we are forewarned in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach, when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. You may be spruce and spry. You may be joyous and jubilant. But as the clock keeps ticking, life change. Do I have a witness? Is there anybody in here who can be truthful? That you used to be, but you are not as you used to be. Your days of youthfulness have turned into days of trouble. And you are not as excited now as you used to be. I mean, when you get up out of the bed, you hurt everywhere. Do I have any help here? I mean, you want to do some things, but you can only think about doing what you want to do because you don't have the mind nor the muscle to do what you want to do. You're not like you used to be. That situations in life, circumstances in life change. You used to have a mouthful. But now you have one here and there. Come on in the house if you can. Used to have long black silky hair. Now to get it back black, you got to get some Jeff Spore. Y'all help me. You're not what you used to be. Steps have gotten shorter and slower. Breath has gotten shorter. Your vision has become dim. Your hearing is not as intense, and you need some help. That things are changing in our lives. That good times will come to an end. And Joseph said, the plenteous years came to an end. And the famine was inevitable because it was established by God. God had revealed to Pharaoh the land would be stricken with the famine. You can't wait until to prepare. Now, I can say a whole lot, you know, because, you know, we just kind of live as if everything will remain the same. And we are not preparing for inevitables. You can't wait until the famine comes to start saving money. And to start and start putting up. You can't wait until it starts raining to put up rainy day funds. You can't wait until you die to take out an assurance or insurance policy. There has to be prior preparation. You can't wait until you get to college to save up for college. There needs to be prior preparation. That the 7 years were given so Joseph could prepare Egypt for the inevitable. And God gave him wisdom and knowledge, divine revelation to act so that they could survive the famine. Because they had prior preparation. So, first of all, if we're going to survive famines, there needs to be prior preparation. But not only that, secondly, there needs to be persistence in God's plan. Because verse 55, and when all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread. And Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph. What he said to you, do. You know how it is when things are arranged, you have the surfacing of new leadership. That people don't want it as long as it's bad. But as soon as you prepare and get things and set things in motion and put it in survival mode, you have someone else to jump up wanting to be the leader. Now, Pharaoh had already told him to go to Joseph. And whatever he said, do. He had to repeat it because the people wanted to go directly to Pharaoh. And he sent them to Joseph. You know, Egyptians had a problem with people of foreign nations being in leadership position over them. They saw an opportunity to go straight to Pharaoh their king. And Pharaoh sent them back to Joseph. Look at it now. And he says, whatever he say, do. So there has to be persistence in the plan, because what Joseph said is what God said. And listen, you have to keep people in place who can hear from God. Oh, you want a person in leadership position that has their ear to the mouth of God. The reason they were prepared for the famine is because of what God had said to Joseph. And Pharaoh said, there's no need of abandoning the plan of God. He didn't intervene. He simply sent the people to Joseph. Go to Joseph. And what comes out of his mouth, do. Now, here's the reason. Pharaoh had sense enough to know that if he would have abandoned the plan, he would have had loss of life. Because life was predicated upon what God said to Joseph and what Joseph said to the people. Let me caution you. Stop seeking out folks who will tell you what you want to hear. Stop looking for folks that will confirm your thinking. Because when it comes to God, if you're thinking anything against, contrary to the word of God, you are wrong. So stop looking for people who will confirm your thinking. I'm going to go to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh is going to give me a different word. That I don't have to heed what Joseph is saying. He's just a Hebrew. And I don't know why he elevated Joseph in the first place, because we're all Egyptians. And we have our own gods. We're not monotheistic. We're polytheistic. We have many gods. And here it is. He's talking about the God of the Hebrews. One God. We got God for everything. And now we got to submit ourselves and surrender ourselves and subject ourselves to Joseph's word. I'm going to Pharaoh. It could have been a way of them trying to tell on Joseph. I'm going to Pharaoh. I want to hear what Pharaoh has to say. We're in this jam. We're in this tight. We just had a good 7 years, and here it is. This man has brought this famine upon us. He has turned the hand of our God against us. Let's go to Pharaoh. But your answer of survival is not in Pharaoh. Your answer of survival is in a man who foreshadows Jesus. You better stick with Jesus. He persists in the plan. He has prior preparation. But then there's a demand for prudence. That Joseph was skilled and had good judgment in use of resources. But the prudence went beyond Joseph's smarts and his skill. Joseph's prudence was action in accordance with God's desire. That he was a prudent man because he listened to God. And according to Proverbs chapter 10 verse 5, he who gathers in summer is prudent, is a prudent son, but he who sleeps in harvest is a son who brings shame. He was a prudent son because of Proverbs 16:22. That prudence is the foundation of life to the prudent. But folly brings punishment to fools. That Joseph was prudent and careful in dispensing in the famine. He didn't give too much, and he didn't give too little. He was careful. He kept the market low by furnishing them at reasonable rates out of his store. Joseph did not inflate the price of corn because there was a famine in the land. It was with wisdom and justice that Joseph fixed the price of corn so that Pharaoh would gain reasonable profit, and yet the people might not be oppressed nor advantage taken of their prevailing necessity. See, God knows how to situate leaders who will serve you best at the most difficult time of your life. He knows how to situate leaders who will not take advantage of you, but will advance you. Do I have a witness? That we know that Joseph was a type of Christ. And by the time we get to chapter 50, when he was speaking to his brothers who thought he would be vengeful, he said that God meant it to save much people alive. That's what God will do. He'll send you leaders that'll bring about deliverance in your life. That's what he did with Joseph. He allowed Joseph to experience a pit. To experience Potiphar's house. To experience a prison. To experience a palace. Because he was developing in Joseph what was needed to save much people alive. I thank God for Joseph. But there is one who is greater than Joseph. His name is Jesus. Jesus, our kinsman redeemer. Jesus, our horse pawing in the valley. Jesus, our rose of Sharon. Jesus, our lily of the valley. Is there anybody here who knows Jesus? Jesus, our way out of no way. Our bread in a starving land. And water in dry places. Do you know Jesus? Jesus Christ. Our wheel in the middle of a wheel. Our Savior and Lord. Jesus who came down through 42 generations. Landed in a lonely place called Bethlehem. Do
you know Jesus, if you know Jesus I'm talking about, why don't you stand on your feet and shake somebody's hand and say, I know him. I know the one who walked the dusty streets of Palestine. I know the one who healed the sick and opened the eyes of the blind. I know him who walked upon raging seas and unstopped death ears. I know the one who did no wrong, but they hung him on a cross called Calvary. Do you know him? If you know him, why don't you shake your neighbor's hand one more time and say, Jesus, I know him. He died out on that cross, but dying is not all he did. They took his lifeless body from the cross and put it in a borrowed tomb, and he stayed there Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, well, Sunday morning, before the rooster could crow, Sunday morning, before the S-U-N could get up, Sunday morning, before the women made it to the tomb, your Lord and my Savior, your Savior and my Lord, got up with all power in his hands. Can you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you're going to make it through this, because can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. He's good. He's all right with me, because he walks with me. He talks with me. He tells me that I am his all. He rocks me to sleep at night and wake me up in the morning. Ain't he all right? If you know he's all right, say yeah! 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 Yeah!
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for him using Pastor Rogers. The tools of famine. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Let's give another Lord another hand clap of praise today. Amen. 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 The tools of famine. You might be going through a dry season in your life. The doors of the church are open. If you are here, you want to give your life to Christ, we beg you, we implore you to give your life to Christ today. Thank God for Jesus for using our pastor, amen. What a powerful word of God today, amen. The tools of famine. If you're here and you don't know who Jesus is and the free part of your sin, give your life to Jesus Christ. Come while the blood is still running warm in your veins. We ask you, come to Jesus today. Give your life to him today. We implore you. We beg you to come today. Maybe you have backslid. Maybe you have backslid. The God that we serve, he's a restorer. He can restore you back to where he was in fellowship with him again. Yes, yes, come. We ask you, come give your life to Christ today while the blood still running warm in your veins. The tools of famine. The tools of famine. And God bless you. Yes. We ask you, trust him today. Give your life. Come by letter, you come by Christian experience, or you can come by a candidate for baptism. Yes, come on. Give your life to Christ today. While the blood's here running warm in your veins, we ask you come. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. He said, don't be ashamed of me. I'll be ashamed on you before my Father. Be one when they get their life to Christ.
Certainly, we thank God for this young lady who has come. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Sister Haley Moon on Christian Experience. That means you have already accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and you want to be a member of this church. All right? For membership, full-fledged membership, we want you to take part in our orientation classes on Sunday mornings at 9:20, taught by Sister Woods and Sister Oliver. Can you come on Sundays at 9:20 and take those orientation classes? Amen. We will see you Sunday, starting Sunday at 9:20. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Ask that you stand for the reading of Scripture. Ask our deacons to come. If you don't have a communion couplet, raise your hand. Raise your hands high. Amen. Come on. Raise your hands high. A communion couplet. Amen. Raise your hands high. Raise your hand. Come on, say it. That's it. Oh. Come on, one more round. Come on, let me hear you. Come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What? Have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of this bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when we come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when I come. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this time of fellowship, commemoration, celebration, remembrance of the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ. He knew no sin but became sin that we might be the righteousness of you. Forgive us of all our sins and cleanse us from unrighteousness. Give us fellowship one with another as we share relationship with you. Lord, we thank you for this moment, this time of ordinance. We do it with respect and in honor of your Son, Jesus Christ. Every heart say amen.
Amen.
Passover meal together before Jesus would suffer on the cross of Calvary. He took the Passover meal and gave it into more in-depth meaning as to his sacrificial death on the cross. Jesus took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take, eat in remembrance of me." After they supped together, Jesus took the cup and said, "This is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. Take drink." When they finished the Passover, the Lord suffered the last supper. They went out into the Mount of Olives, singing a hymn, fellowshipping one with another. We'll do that after the benediction. May the grace of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, rest you in the body with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. And every heart say, amen.
Amen.